here, everybody. You are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm your host, Ken Schneck. Welcome to episode number 242. Whoa. As always, you can get in touch with us by dropping us an email. Send it on over to ken@thisshowissogay.com. Stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com to learn all about the fun things happening with our little gay radio show that could. You can follow us on Twitter. The handle is, of course, This Show Is So Gay. And go to the Facebook. Like us there, because we sure as heck like you. Two of our favorite guests returning to us this week. We start with the first, with 7 CDs, 13 singles, an unplugged live DVD. Our first guest, Naj, is out to change the world one song at a time. His most notable accomplishments are that, well, he's got tons, but just some that I'm going to tell you is that he was the first in so many different respects. He was the first gay indie artist to reach number one on the MTV Music chart with his video Love. In 2009, he opened doors when he became the first black male to win an Out Music Award. The Alliance of LGBT Recording Artists and Performers went on to vote Love Outstanding R&B Soul Song of the Year. He's got this amazing new project that you, yes, you listeners, can help fund, and we're going to tell you all about that. But first, Naj, welcome back to The Show Is So Gay.
Thank you so much for having me. I always love being on your show.
It's been so long. It's been a year and a half since we've had you on our airwaves.
Wow. It just time just flies. It doesn't seem...
Well, it does for you because you're so freaking busy, man.
Yeah, I'm trying to stay out of trouble.
And you're starting trouble in other areas, which we love too. But first, before we get to any of that, we start with you by talking about the music. For folks who somehow do not know your music, how would you go about describing your sound to people?
I feel like my sound is a combination of various genres. It's a bit of soul, it's a bit of R&B, it's a bit of reggae, and it's a bit of jazz, and it's all kind of mixed up together.
Nice. We love that. How does being gay play into your sound, do you think?
Well, it plays, I think, definitely into my lyrics, because I write about my experience. I don't know about any other experience to write about, so lyrically it's there. And for me, growing up in the Caribbean, I thought it was important to, actually incorporate reggae music into my sound because, historically reggae music has been, so homophobic.
Yeah.
That I wanted to, show the other side,
I feel bad, Naj. I will be very upfront with you. My knowledge of reggae is extraordinarily limited, and what little impression I have is unfortunately colored by that one guy whose name I can't even remember, who just had the
exactly.
horrible lyrics.
Exactly. And I think that's the association most people have with reggae music. But there's Diana King, who's she's from Jamaica, and she is lesbian and, has had hits. And so there are other types of reggae music that, that don't get as much attention. And, of course, there are, LGBT people in Jamaica and from Jamaica. So I just wanted to, paint a, some more accurate picture of what reggae music can be.
Nice. And there's a distinctly spiritual element to your music, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think we're all spiritual beings, even though we may not, go to a specific church or practice in ways that are popular, but I think we all have a spiritual, element within us that we have access to. And so that's, I tap into mine, and I encourage everyone to tap into their, own spirituality and express it in the way they feel most comfortable and, what really speaks to them. So yeah, definitely.
So it's the end of the year, and we like talking about, our most gay moments of the year. What was your most gay moment on stage this year?
My most gay moment on stage?
I would imagine, and I know that it wasn't this year, but I would imagine an extraordinarily pride-worthy moment for you. I'm reading about that one time when you were in Germany. I know it wasn't this year, but at the AIDS Memorial in Germany.
That's right.
Tell everybody what happened there.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. Thank you. Jogging my
memory. I'm here to help.
That was pretty amazing. I was doing their Pride, the Pride of Munich. And it's really cool because it's like in the center of the town. So like all the tourists, like, you know, it attracts their LGBTQ community, but then all the tourists that travel to Munich, you know, kind of hang out there as well because it's just like in center. And what they did, they had a AIDS memorial and so I sang I Miss You as kind of a tribute. And while I was singing, they had, you know, like, I think it was like 1,000 black balloons just kind of released into the air. It was like,
wow,
just the most amazing moment, yeah.
How do you keep your focus? I would be in the middle of a lyric, and then I would suddenly sing, look at the balloons, and that's not the lyric.
I know.
I would probably write a song where the lyric would be, look at the balloons, so that I wouldn't mess up the song.
Actually, that's kind of a good idea. Maybe I should, like, incorporate that into a new song.
See? You were thinking, I'm going to talk about my latest project, and then you walk away with all these ideas.
I know. There you go. That's why I need to come back more often.
Exactly. Get new ideas every year and a half here on this show. It's okay. Well, as I said in your bio, you know, you have so many different identities, and we all have different identities. Yours just intersect in the most beautiful way, and we've talked about it briefly in years past, but I certainly want to return to it because, okay, so you have the perception of reggae and how reggae may be anti-gay, but then you have the perception of certainly the struggle between being a person of color and being gay and how that's played out in your life.
Yeah, because it's a completely, well, I imagine it's a completely different experience because, you know, I'm dealing with racism, you know, on many levels, right, and also homophobia. And, I'm a part of a group, a men's group called Adoti, and it's, specifically for men of color. And there's a retreat and we spend a lot of time just like sharing our experiences just because it's important, I think, to be in safe spaces where, you know, we can, like, you know, express ourselves and our hurt and, you know, try to heal some of, you know, the wounds that we have.
Yeah.
So absolutely, yeah.
And some of those come from both inside and outside communities of color. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So you have that, and then as we just briefly mentioned, you have this identity of being someone who is spiritual, and then there's that perception about conflicts between spirituality and being gay. So you're just trying to rack up as many as possible.
Well, I think for me what it is, it's like, you know, just continually working through these issues, because I mean, I grew up, my dad's a minister,
yeah,
my mom's a minister, so for me personally, I had to come to a space where I was okay with, you know, I came to a way of coming to terms with spirituality, and as soon as I work on something, of course, it just comes into my music, because, you know, my music is just an extension of who I am. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I even saw on your website, it was a lovely little exchange. It was like two lines, but I just saw it the other day of someone reaching out to you from a college group saying, hey, can you support us as queer people of color? And that was lovely.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah, I'm really, those are the messages that are most inspiring and encouraging to me. When I get, you know, like when young people, or anyone for that matter, you know, reaches out and says, you know, I really admire what you're doing, you know, can you help me do this? Or, you know, just those messages are really, really encouraging, because it gets lonely doing what I do. There aren't that many people doing what I do, so...
There really aren't, are there? I mean, as we've... Look, we've been doing this show for 242 episodes, and we certainly...
Congratulations on that, by the way.
Thank you. It just keeps going and going. Who knew? And certainly, and later on in the show, we'll be welcoming back singer-songwriter Daniel Gray, so we'll be talking to him as well, just about being a gay artist of color. But even in our attempts to really... get more artists of color on the air, it's a struggle.
So
you have all these different identities that are woven together, and they make me nervous for you because we're both NYU Violets, and I just want you to be the happiest person. But I also know that you are like the happiest person I've ever encountered, which is a little unnerving.
Thank you. But you're pretty happy too, actually.
I just, for 59 minutes a week, I can pull it off, Naj. It's totally fine. It's totally fine. All right, we have to talk about your latest project. So you're sitting around and thinking, I'm Naj. I have no free time, so I want to add another project onto my plate. Is that the way that that happened?
Well, actually, it was, I went down to Guyana this summer for a human rights organization that's down there. It's called SASAD, and they just celebrated their 10-year anniversary.
Wow.
Exactly. And I mean, so I grew up in Guyana, but, and I, you know, I left, you know, many years ago. But when I went back this year, you know, we were on the radio. They were doing interviews. They, you know, they had press. They had a big press conference, you know. So they've been really kind of changing the, you know, the perception and the reality of what it is to be LGBT. And they just sued the state for, there was a crackdown on trans women.
Okay.
In Guyana, like about 4 years ago. And they, you know, they went to court with that, and they just, you know, a couple months ago, they just won a settlement for that.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I was sitting here thinking, you know, like, what can I do? And the idea of LGBT community center came up. I was talking with the co-founder, Joel, and he was like, you know, it's something we have, you know, we want to do. It's a long-term project. And I was like, well, I can help with that. I can help raise funds. I can do what I can to help raise funds for that.
Now, I will be very upfront with you, because I'm always very upfront with you. I know nothing about Guyana. Nothing. So, and I would imagine a lot of our listeners know nothing as well. So if, for our history lesson and our geography lesson and everything we need to know, go.
Okay, so Guyana is the only English-speaking country in South America. It's a tiny little country, and it's right next to Venezuela. Because it's the only English-speaking country in the Caribbean, it gets roped in. It kind of hangs out with the Caribbean countries way more than it does South America. So it's one of the kind of main CARICOM or Caribbean countries, along with Jamaica and Trinidad. And Barbados, I think, is the other one.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's tropical. It's warm.
I don't mean to jump to the bad stuff, because I don't want to jump to the bad stuff. But were I to, I did a little research. I'm not just relying on Naj. there's no legal protection for LGBT people, is what I'm reading.
Yeah, there isn't. And that's what SASAD is working on changing. Luckily, it's not like Jamaica. It's not as bad as Jamaica is.
Okay, that's good to know.
But, yeah, it, you know, so the laws don't necessarily get enforced as often as they could be, but the laws are on the books.
Okay.
And, so yeah, that's what we're working to change.
Now, it is your goal, and we're going to provide everybody with a link, so everybody's going to get the link, and you can donate what you can, 'tis this season. Your goal is to raise $15,000.
Correct, yeah. By the end of this year, December 31st.
We got a little bit of time left. And your mom, who you went for a walk with earlier, I assume she's in for like 14 grand, so we just got to raise another 1,000.
So, yeah, I'm still working on my mom. My mom, I mean, we've gotten to the point where we can talk about things.
Okay. We'll get there.
We've come a long way.
So in companion to these efforts, you wrote this great, great piece in the Huffington Post, and people can just type your name into the Huffington Post, and they'll see your piece. And it's really, first of all, very well written, my friend.
Thank you.
I would expect nothing less from an NYU Violet.
I know.
Just putting that out there. What has the response been thus far? What have people been contacting you and saying?
So it's been tough. I mean, so as of today, I've raised $1,180.
Okay.
So I'm like super thankful for that, because that is a lot of money. But there's still, you know, there's still a ways to go. And I think the people who have been supporting are really realizing that, you know, it's, you know, LGBT people here, LGBT people in Africa or the Caribbean or South America, you know, we're all experiencing the same things. And you know, if I can help, I will help. And that's what I've been hearing, and I'm really happy and thankful for that.
And you said in the piece that an LGBT center there would give folks a safe place to gather. And that idea of safety, you know, when you graft it onto a different country in a region that really has a lot of issues with safety for LGBT populations,
Correct.
It just
Correct.
Makes the idea of a center even more necessary.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, because, I mean, they're... one of the things that the LGBT center will do is provide housing for LGBT youth, because you know there isn't anything there
right. For
you know anyone who, and that happens a lot. I mean, there are lots of kids on the streets.
Yeah. Okay. So we got work to do. We got to get up to this $15,000 because we want the center.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
On it. What else are you working on? I would assume there's, you know, because you're one of those prolific ones. You're one of those that I feel like every other day there's a new Naj song coming out. It's like I'm just trying to get to Trader Joe's, Naj, and you're just releasing songs. So what's coming up next for you?
So I just finished recording a new album.
Of course you did.
We're planning for Valentine's Day release.
Lovely. Now,
yeah. Is
there still room for a track called Look at the Balloons?
Unfortunately, no.
This is soul crushing. All right, well.
But as you said, there's always a Naj project. So, you know, like March, you know, it'll probably be something else, and bam.
Just in time for St. Patrick's Day, studio album is coming out, so that's exciting. Well, that's amazing. How would you characterize this next project?
So what we did, my manager and I, we've been, you know, going back about songs and what, you know, how best to kind of communicate that we are the same. You know, it's, you know, LGBT people are, you know, it's the love that we experience is the same that anyone else experiences. And I forget exactly who came up with the idea of doing, you know, classic songs.
Wow.
And just changing the gender so, you know, it represents our experience. So we took songs from each decade, from the 1920s to this current decade. So they're all popular songs that they're popular songs that most people are familiar with, and we just changed the gender. So,
what's your favorite? I know you're not supposed to have favorites because all the songs are your babies, but which one's your favorite? Which is the one that really kind of, like, when you change the gender, it just was the most shocking to you?
It was the Billy Joel song, She's Got a Way.
I love that song.
I love that song, too. And I, like, changed the gender, and it was like, I couldn't stop tearing up.
Oh, my gosh.
And we added live strings, and so it's just beautiful.
Because I don't know if you know, He's Got a Way About Him. That's my favorite. You know, I grew up on Billy Joel. He's Got a Smile That Heals Me. I remember that one.
Yep.
Okay,
all
right.
That's it.
Okay, there's no balloons in that song, but that's okay. It's going to be for the next album. Any exciting holiday plans you want to share with the masses?
So I came home. Well, my parents live in Orlando, so I'm here in Orlando for the holidays now.
Nice.
So I'll spend it with my folk. Yeah.
We can all deal with some warmer climates.
Absolutely. I was lying out in the sun earlier. We just went, you know, we were texting each other.
Okay, Naj, don't rub it in. It was enough to say I went to Florida. We don't need you telling everyone that you were laying out earlier.
Okay, okay. Erased.
Well, that's fantastic. All right, well, give everybody your website, and then on our website, we will link to your fundraising website. So it's all going to be one linked up experience.
So I think that it's a GoFundMe campaign. So you can either go to GoFundMe, and it's a very long website, or you can just go to my website, and on the front page, there's a big link.
Nice.
To the GoFundMe page. So my website is www.naj.com. That's NHOJJ.com.
Lovely.
And from there, there's a link to the GoFundMe campaign.
Fantastic. And I have to, I know I've asked you this question before. I'm going to ask you again because it really is one of my favorite words that I find on your website. Every time I go back there and I'm like, oh, what's Naj up to this week or this hour? Because it changes all the time. Talk to us about, especially in the holiday season, and it's cold out, not where you are, but where the rest of us are, and, you know, this idea of family is so present, and we're all kind of looking for those connections, and you put out this word that I love. Talk to us real briefly about the idea of sanctuary.
There's so many different forms of sanctuary, the word sanctuary kind of manifests in all these various ways, right? There's, you know, a kind of religious sanctuary that, you know, most people go to worship, you know, their higher power, their higher being. But for me, I like to think of sanctuary as kind of the space I hold inside of myself, the safe space, so that wherever I go, I can have sanctuary, I can have peace, I can have comfort and safety.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. Well, you bring us sanctuary, Naj, with your voice. You bring it to us with your energy. You bring it to us with just everything that you're putting out there in the world. It's so incredible. You know I love having you on the show.
Thank you so much. I love being on your show. You are incredible. And your energy and spirit are amazing. And I wish you the absolute best on the next 200 and 300, 400.
Can I just get to 250, Naj? Just let me get to 250. I don't have as lofty goals as you have. I'm just trying to get to 250 and to Trader Joe's. That's it. Naj, please keep doing what you're doing. Hi to the family.
I will. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I am a warrior.
All right, folks, and we are back. Well, another one of our favorite guests returning to us. Daniel Gray is a singer-songwriter who gets our feet moving like crazy. You've seen his videos on Logo. He's such a great friend of our show. I know of no other ball of energy quite like him. To quote him, and this is Daniel Gray saying this, not me, even though I 100% agree, but he said, quote, that he is the friend that you have to explain to people before you introduce him and then apologize about afterwards. There's no apologies here. Daniel Gray, welcome back to This Show Is So Gay.
Oh, my gosh, Ken, thank you for having me. I love doing your show. It's so much fun.
I could just do episode after episode reading what you post on Facebook.
Well, thank you. I try to be as witty as I can. Got to keep that writing muscle going.
Has there ever been a post that you have put up there and you're like, you know what? That's even too much for me, Daniel Gray. I got to take it down.
No, never. Why regret anything? You just live in the moment.
You crack me up, man. You crack me up. So much to talk about. Are you ready?
There we go. Let's do it.
All right. Well, you've been recording a video, right? You've been making a video all week. How's that going?
I've been in rehearsal all week.
Okay.
We do the video next week, which is it's for my first single for my new album, and I'm really excited.
Nice.
Really, really excited. It's an angry song.
Oh.
Which I don't usually have, so I'm very happy.
What are you angry about?
I was angry at a couple things. I got angry at all these suicides and all this bullying and all this stuff. It just made me angry. So I wrote this song called It's Gonna Hurt, and it's basically written to the bullies and to all these people who keep bullying people. I hate it. It gets under my skin.
Yeah.
So I say in the song, if you want to pick on someone, then please. Please come and pick on me.
Oh, I
would
not
love it.
Picking on you. There's no way. There is no way I'm picking on Daniel Gray. I'm not taking that on. Because no matter how much energy I have, I'm going to run out. And I've not seen that happen with you.
I have loads of energy.
I
wake up with energy. I'm that morning person that you hate because I wake up with a smile on my face, jumping out of bed, ready for the day.
Nice. Nice. Well, when we last chatted back in March, a whole 9 months ago, you were putting on the event in New Jersey. Was it New Jersey Got Talent? I can't remember what we were calling it.
Pro Bar Finds a Star.
I was so close.
Yes. Well, it was originally Pro Bar's Got Talent.
Okay.
But then we changed it to Pro Bar Finds a Star. And it was with the amazing Robin Camille.
Yes.
And Peppermint did the show, and Amanda Lepore and Caswell. So many great people came out and did the show, and it was so much fun.
I told you, I just met Peppermint here in Cleveland.
Yes. How was it?
She's, I don't know if you know this, she's a little bit fierce.
You know what? I've heard a rumor. I've heard a rumor that she could be.
Let me tell you, I've seen Salt and Pepper do Shoop, but seeing Peppermint do Shoop, it's like a whole different song.
Peppermint is a drag goddess. I love her.
Yeah.
I think that she's just amazing at everything she does.
Yes.
And such a nice person.
Yes. All right, we're going to talk a little serious, and then I have a new role for you on the show, which is very exciting. So we'll get to your new role.
Okay.
But we were just talking, we just had on earlier in the show, we had Naj on, and I don't know if you know Naj, an amazing singer-songwriter, and we were talking about, you know, we talked about bullying and how ridiculous that is, but we also talked about the difficulties of acceptance of sexual orientation, particularly in communities of color, and that phenomenon. What do you have to say about that?
I am, like with myself, I am Daniel Gray. I mean, I like who I like when I like them, and I don't let anyone try to define me or put myself in a box. So, I mean, if I just say I'm Daniel Gray, if you wanted to make a word for it, I guess you could say I'm queer because I'm just me, and I just like what I like when I like it. And when I hear about things like that, I hark back to my grandmother, who is a black Southern woman, very church-going, and so people might think that she would be closed-minded, but she was not. My grandmother always taught us, it's not what you're called, it's what you answer to. So be who you are and just be yourself, because the only person who has to spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with you, is yourself.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what community, what color you are, what you're in. You just have to be yourself and be happy with yourself. And I know that in the African American community, in particular, there's that stigma of anti-gay and homophobia, but I think it's coming around. I really do. I think it's coming around, and people are starting to see a difference. And I will thank just people enlightening themselves and opening their minds for that.
There you go.
So, I mean, I know that it was a big thing in California because of when Obama won.
Yeah.
And then Prop 8 passed.
Right.
And it was a lot of the African-American vote that helped Prop 8 pass and helped Obama win.
Yeah.
So, I think with things like that and even people like Obama saying something and making it a point to say something, that's sort of opening people's eyes.
Love it. Love it. Perfect. Okay. So, you ready for your new role? Now, I'm telling you right now, this is a resume builder for you. You can put this on your resume. You can get new business cards because I am officially dubbing you, at least for this week's show, our pop culture correspondent. This is big.
Boom! I love it.
I know, because there are some things going on in pop culture that I know for a fact that you have an opinion on, and so I have three different areas, and I'm going to get your take on it. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, let's start with, and I did not see it. I will be very upfront with everyone. I read all the Facebook posts. I read all the tweets. I did not see it. What does Daniel Gray, our pop culture correspondent, have to say about the new Sound of Music that was recently on TV?
Oh my gosh, I literally just saw The Sound of Music. I DVR'd it because I couldn't watch it when it aired. I'm sorry to everyone who hates it. I love The Sound of Music.
There you go.
I grew up with it. I love the Julie Andrews. It's one of my mother's favorite movies. And so I used to watch it every year with my mother. Every year, if that tells you something.
Okay.
About how I grew up. But it was an event at my house every single year, and I watched it. Carrie Underwood, amazing voice. Is she an actress? No. But I don't think Jennifer Hudson was an actress in Dreamgirls. I think that
right.
She won that Oscar for that song she did.
Right.
And if this was a big screen movie, Carrie Underwood would have won an Oscar because her voice just blew the roof off of everything. So I disagree with people who are saying that she was awful. She was not awful. I thought Carrie Underwood worked it. I did not even know who Stephen Moyer was. I did not realize that was Bill from True Blood.
Yeah.
So good for him. Good for the only, and this might get me in trouble, but I'm not picking on her. And it is an opinion that my friends share with me. The only person I didn't like in that whole thing was that little Liesel girl. I hated her. Like, and I know she's, like, six, but I saw what the Olsen twins did in Full House, and they needed an Olsen twin. That's what they needed. Andrea McDonald, that black girl, blew the roof off of it.
Oh, she's the best.
Yes, I love her. But besides that little girl, it was a great movie.
All right. So Sound of Music gets a thumbs up. I have a feeling, I'm predicting it, and I could be wrong, and you're the correspondent, not me, but I'm predicting we're going to get three thumbs up on the three things I'm going to throw at you. All right, so Sound of Music, thumbs up. Pop culture item number two. And again, I only know one song off this album, so I don't know it very well. What about the new Britney CD?
I love the new Britney CD.
Okay.
But you can't take my word for it. I love Britney since I was little.
Yeah.
I've been a Britney Spears fan since forever. And I know people are giving her flack because she called it her most personal album and everything. I think for Britney, what she means by most personal is she had a hand in writing all the songs.
Yeah.
Now, Britney is much like Whitney Houston. She don't write nothing.
Right.
So when she put a hand in writing something, I think she feels it is now personal. Even if she's just saying dance, 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 dance. It is personal to her because she wrote the word dance.
All right.
And I just think, it's a great last album for Britney because I personally feel that she can give two flying whatevers about doing this anymore. I think she's done. I think Britney is officially done with everybody. So I think it's a great last album, and good job for Britney.
Now, would you purchase the new album that I'm predicting coming out next year, Duets, with Britney and that six-year-old Liesel? You could ponder that. We're moving on to topic number three.
I might have to stream it first.
All right, topic number three. So that was a thumbs up for Britney?
Yes.
Okay, absolutely. Thumbs up for Britney.
Thumbs up for Britney.
Now, topic number three of pop culture significance this week, and oh my God, did the gays go crazy? Not sure if you heard Daniel Gray, but it's perhaps possible that Beyonce dropped a new album.
Now, I love Britney.
Okay.
I'm okay with Gaga.
Okay.
And Katy Perry is my on and off.
All right.
But I will admit, Beyonce dropped the greatest album of the year.
There you go.
That's it. And what I love about it is she came out, just surprised everyone. She didn't give anyone time to hate her or hate the music. You had to buy it first. There was no streaming, no leaking, no nothing, and it made it a success. And even if the music wasn't the best, which it is the best. It is the dirtiest album I've heard since Madonna's Erotica. But the music is amazing, but the surprise factor of it just added to the excitement. So good job, Beyonce. Jay-Z needs to go sit down and let his wife do the work.
There it is.
Because she is the moneymaker.
So perhaps a thumbs up for Beyonce.
Thumbs up for Beyonce. Thumbs down for Kanye West and Kim Kardashian.
Oh,
thumbs
yeah.
up for their baby. Thumbs down for them.
I don't even know what's going on with them. I'm not. I gave up. I gave up. What do you want from me? I gave up. All right. And that, everyone, is Daniel Gray, our pop culture correspondent for this week. You did very well, sir.
Well, thank you very much. I'm putting this on my resume. I'm sending it to Donald Trump right now.
I have a PhD. It's fun to list me as a reference. I'm telling you.
Ken, I list you as a reference for everything. You have one of my favorite shows.
Well, thank you.
And you're political, and you're intelligent, and just everything all around. I actually, and I hope you don't mind, I told my friend Jay Rizzo Mertz to Facebook message you because he's running for the House of Representatives in Pennsylvania. And I said, I know who you should talk to. Ken.
He didn't do it yet. Have him reach out to me. We'd love to have him on the show.
I will tell him.
All right.
I'm texting him right after I get off the phone.
You're my booking agent.
Pop culture analyst and booking agent.
I'm telling you.
My resume is growing.
I was going to ask you to be my dance instructor, but who's got time right now? Who's got the time? Who's got the time? Hey, Daniel Gray, tell everyone where they can go to follow the amazing energy that is Daniel Gray.
Well, I have a Facebook page, so Daniel Gray World on Facebook, or you can follow me on Twitter. That's Daniel Gray World. Daniel Gray World is just easy for me to remember because it is my world.
It is your world.
That I live in.
Yeah.
So, and then DanielGrayWorld.com. But Facebook, Twitter, I just got an Instagram. I don't know what that is, and I am struggling using it. And I have a Tumblr somewhere, and I don't know what's on it.
I'm just trying to, like, the Twitter thing, I'm just so content with Facebook, and I know I should branch out more, but, yeah, I'm struggling.
I feel like you can. I only have the Facebook and the Twitter because of my job. Otherwise, just text me.
There you go.
Text me or call me. That works.
Right?
That's seriously how it works for me.
Every now and then I like talking to a person. It happens. It happens once in
exactly.
a blue moon. Yeah. Daniel Gray. Daniel Gray, I adore you. You're such a ball of energy, and I can't believe we haven't hung out yet. When are we hanging out?
I'm going to be in Ohio in February.
There you go. I live in Ohio.
In February.
Where are you going?
Yes. I'm going to Cincinnati, Cleveland, and Columbus.
All right. The three C's, yeah.
The three C's. I'm going to the three C's in Ohio. I'm doing a mini promotional tour, and I'm scheduling you for dinner.
Easily. And if you need a place to stay, you're going to stay here with me in Cleveland. Daniel Gray, I adore you. Keep doing what you're doing, and a Happy New Year to you.
Happy Holidays and Happy New Year. And just a reminder to your audience.
Please.
Why be gay when you could be so gay?
You now also could put on your resume the first person to do the tagline without being prompted. So add that on there, too.
I'm doing it. This has just been a resume builder. I love this.
I'm telling you, I'm here to help. I'm here to help. Daniel Gray, always
a
treat.
I'm here to help you. Thank you. Great to talk to you every time.
Some people grow up wanting to be astronauts, flying into other space. I always wanted to do what I want, be a star you can't erase. Some people dream of one house and fancy cars, driving down the highway. I dream of taking everything so far, everyone will scream my name. Come on, come on, get a place to drink, to be a big fancy life by the end of the day.
from the fear of success. Well, that's more for me, baby, 'cause I'm not like the rest. Hollywood, New York, the UK, not the end. The world is all for me. Everything I work for and try to do is to make the world happy.
All right, folks. Well, we do have a little bit of time left on this week's show to talk about the latest gay news and views. And there is a lot of drama going down at The Advocate. The Advocate of all places. So here's my thing with The Advocate. I do love The Advocate. I make no bones about it. I've said it multiple times on the show when we have news segments, when I was doing them with Becca, when we first started this show years and years ago, and with Jody, and we covered all the news. One of the places that I would naturally go would be to The Advocate's website to see, all right, what is the latest gay news? What's going on? And then in the past, like, year, they really started shifting their focus. And we had the editor-in-chief of The Advocate on the show at the start of this year, at the start of 2013, and we didn't talk too much about it. And then it crystallized a little bit more for me when we had on the editor-in-chief of the Huffington Post Gay Voices section and talked about that there are some websites that are doing different kinds of things in order to compete in this new media environment. And I feel like The Advocate is going in a different direction. I have no confirmation of this, so maybe we got to get the editor-in-chief back on the show to get confirmation. But when I go to The Advocate's homepage to find the latest gay news, it used to be that the homepage was just a compendium of all these different great news stories. And now there's just, I'm looking at it even right this very second, there certainly are some news stories, but when you go to latest news, there's also like little videos that say, like right now I'm looking, it says, watch underwear models for affordable healthcare, and just other videos and a lot of opinion pieces. And I think that that definitely is a response to the Huffington Post. I think it's a lot more op-eds on the Advocate's homepage than there ever used to be. It just used to be many more news stories. When we first started the show back in 2008, I would cull a lot from gay.com had a news section. They don't even have that anymore. So I know that the landscape for LGBT media has altered quite dramatically in the past few years as we're turning to more media to get our news. So I get it. But it's been a little bit frustrating to not be able to go to The Advocate and just find news as soon as you want it. That said, The Advocate decided to come out with their Person of the Year. And actually, someone in the comments, I'm going to skip right to the comments before I even talk to you about who the Person of the Year is, and I know a lot of you know this. People said, is this a joke? Who even, is The Advocate even relevant anymore? Who even remembers the Person of the Year in 2012? And indeed, I do not remember the Person of the Year in 2012. I assume there was one. This isn't a new segment for them. But The Advocate decided that their Person of the Year, and on the front cover there of The Advocate for the December 2013 issue, and I know a lot of you have this, but for those of you who don't and didn't hear, they decided their Person of the Year was Pope Francis. That's really problematic. That's really problematic. So they, if you read the article, and I've read the article, there's a lot of diatribe about how it was a very difficult decision for them, and they started off talking about, well, should it be Edie Windsor? And I kind of assumed that when Kathy Renna was on the show a few weeks ago, that she was hinting and teasing that Edie Windsor was going to be Time Magazine's Person of the Year. But then she wasn't, and I think that one was the Pope too. So then you figure, all right, well, Edie Windsor is not the Time Magazine Person of the Year, but surely she will be the Advocate's and they too went with the Pope. And the article is really weird, and it's really depressing, quite honestly, and they write, Edie Windsor is a hero, one well worth recording in history books that retell the story of Doma's demise, but she is not the person of the year. She couldn't possibly be. Here's the sentence. She couldn't possibly be, not for The Advocate, where we celebrate the work of so many who contributed to that landmark Supreme Court victory. And then they go on and they name the Pope. This makes absolutely no sense. When you say she couldn't, again, quote, she couldn't possibly be, not for The Advocate, where we celebrate the work of so many who contributed to that landmark Supreme Court victory, they make it sound like, okay, we couldn't possibly select one person for our person of the year. Oh, but we are going to select the Pope. The Pope, Pope Francis, now again, not my religion, it might be yours, it has a really storied and problematic relationship with the LGBT community, and yes, he has certainly said things this year that no other pope, it seems, has said before him, at least publicly, but to name him the Advocate's Person of the Year, I wasn't going to take a stand on this, but I, of course I am right now, is just freaking nutty. It is nutty. And I don't need to take a stand on this because Michelangelo Signorelli, or at least I don't need to have the last word on it, because Michelangelo has a great piece in the Huffington Post Gay Voices section, which, again, that's some irony based on what I just told you. But his title of the article, very subtle, No, Pope Francis is not the LGBT person of the year. And so I'll read a little bit from that. The Advocate magazine put Pope Francis on its cover, proclaiming him the person of the year, offering a myriad of reasons why it passed up others, such as Edie Windsor. The best thing about this is that Francis has a no-hate decal photoshopped on his face, and it's driving poor Bill Donahue of the Catholic League into a blood vessel-popping rage. But mostly, this was idiotic. Pope Francis is a lot of things to many people in the world, but he is not our hero of the LGBT community in 2013. Can we get a grip, folks, are we that starved for validation? And the article goes on, and you should read his piece. But really, I don't know. It's quite depressing in a way that this is where the Advocate is going. And one of the comments from Andy Hum, and Andy Hum is the co-host, if you don't know, of and the co-producer of Gay USA, which is one of the longest-running television shows, and just an amazing news magazine. And Ann Northrup, his co-host, has been on the show, and we got to get Andy on the show. But he wrote, this is just about the most pathetic, self-hating, bowing down to a bigot that I've read in my 40 years of gay activism. Francis is doing good public relations in the service of propping up the patriarchy, an infantile style of government that sees the leaders as parents and the members as children. Catholics need to grow up and govern their own church if they want to avoid continued scandal. The fact that so many are enthralled to this man who has not changed one iota of anti-gay, anti-woman doctrine is pathological. And he went on to write there, he added another comment, I do have to say that I thought the Advocate cover had to be a sick satire when I first saw it. And if you really, I'm telling you, if you look at the comments on the Advocate site, people think, is this a joke? Is this just generating, you know, kind of like someone likened it to the Boston Marathon bomber being on the cover of Rolling Stone and whether or not that was just a ploy for them to boost circulation. And it's how could you not think that that's what the Advocate is trying to do by naming Pope Francis in this historic, historic year of LGBT equality and advancement to name the Pope, who again made some concessions, but certainly didn't create a more equal climate, like Edie Windsor and all the folks who worked on defeating Prop 8 and getting rid of DOMA. And so, I don't know, it's pretty bad. Even Jason Collins, that was this year. He came out of the closet. That was a big deal. There's a lot of, and he broke a ton of barriers there in our athletic environment that's can be so unbelievably anti-gay. So depressing. This is not an uplifting story. This is like, all right, do I continue to go to the Advocate every week and search for news where it used to be I could just go to their homepage and get the news? Now I got to search for it, and they're naming Pope Francis their cover person for Person of the Year. Very depressing. Very depressing. And I totally agree with Michelangelo Signorelli that, yes, this was really about putting his picture there and putting a no-hate decal on the side of his face, which it just seems a desperate ploy, and I don't like desperate ploys. I don't like when we do things like that. So there's that. It would not be a week if we did not have some sort of celebrity, and this is radio, so you can't see me putting celebrity in quotes, but we have one of the stars of Duck Dynasty. Not a show I've seen. I've not seen Duck Dynasty. I've seen a lot of TV, not Duck Dynasty. But apparently, Duck Dynasty star Phil Robertson, he's under fire because he just wouldn't stop with the anti-gay comments in a profile that GQ magazine did of him in their January issue. It started when he, Phil Robertson, began to talk about the erosion of morality in American culture, in which, quote, everything is blurred on what's right and what's wrong, sin becomes fine, end quote. GQ then asked him to, hey, can you elaborate on what you just said? He did. Quote, start with homosexual behavior and just morph out from there, bestiality, sleeping around with this woman and that woman and that woman and those men. He then returned to the subject throughout the interview. I mean, aren't you supposed to have a PR person, like, right there? What little I know of the Hollywood industry, and it is an industry, is that someone swoops in and says, hey, our star here of Duck Dynasty needs to take a break. But apparently, no PR person to be found, because he just kept going, and he gave a Cliff Notes version of the New Testament Book of Corinthians. He said, quote, don't be deceived. Neither the adulterers, the idolaters, the male prostitutes, the homosexual offenders, the greedy, the drunkards, the slanderers, the swindlers, they won't inherit the kingdom of God. Don't deceive yourself. It's not right. He then kept going. I'm telling you, he kept going. We never ever judge someone on who's going to heaven or hell. That's the Almighty's job. We just love them, give them the good news about Jesus, whether they're homosexuals. Here it is. Here's the quote. Whether they're homosexuals, drunks, or terrorists. Well, gosh, Duck Dynasty friend, Phil Robertson, those are three very different categories that you just lumped together. He said, we let God sort them out later. You see what I'm saying? He then talked about human anatomy. I'm not even going there. Not even going there. A GLAAD spokesperson, they released a condemning statement about the star's commentary. So they said, quote, Phil's decision. By the way, their spokesperson for GLAAD, I kind of didn't know this, is Wilson Cruz. We love Wilson Cruz. He was on West Wing. He was on My So-Called Life. He's a great guy. He said, quote, Phil's decision to push vile and extreme stereotypes is a stain on A&E and his sponsors, who now need to reexamine their ties to someone with such public disdain for LGBT people and families. So good job, Wilson Cruz. By the way, Wilson Cruz, randomly on Vanderpump Rules. Yeah, I don't watch Duck Dynasty, but I'm sure as heck watching Vanderpump Rules. Judge me in the comfort of your own homes. I can't hear you from here in Cleveland, so I don't care. I don't care. You can judge me for that. I love it. I love that show. It's a little bit trashy, just a tiny bit. But Wilson Cruz, they did a gay pride episode, and they had a float, and everyone started fighting with each other with their shirts off. And Wilson Cruz just showed up in the bar and introduced himself to Lisa Vanderpump as a spokesperson of GLAAD. She didn't really know who he was, and I wanted to be like, no, that's Ricky. That's My So-Called Life, one of the first gay characters that really touched my heart there on MTV. I love that show. Gives me a lot of angst, but I watch it every now and then. Now, A&E released a statement from him, Phil Robertson, explaining his anti-gay statements with the assurance, quote, here it is, he would never treat anyone with disrespect. So he keeps going and he says, we are all created by the Almighty, and like him, I love all of humanity. We would all be better off if we loved God and loved each other. Duck Dynasty, right there, comparing gay people to drunks, terrorists, and yes, you got it, prostitutes. What are you going to do? What are you going to do, people? What are you going to do? Some education news. We love throwing out a little bit of education news for you. The Sacramento School District is voting this week on whether or not to have a trans-inclusive policy. The school district in California's capital city is set to consider expanding their non-discrimination policy to include transgender students in a vote this week. So we will keep you posted on that. That obviously would be great. We like when we expand protections. That's always a good thing. The Pennsylvania governor has come out for LGBT employment protections. Governor Tom Corbett, a conservative Republican who recently infuriated LGBT activists and allies by claiming that marriage equality was legally equivalent to incest and marriage between children, Yeah, he said it. He adopted a decisively different tone in an interview with the Philadelphia Inquirer this past Wednesday. The incumbent governor, who previously served 8 years as Pennsylvania's attorney general, told the Inquirer he's now ready to come out for LGBT-inclusive employment non-discrimination protections in his state. He said, quote, I've had people come and talk to me about how they were discriminated against. The federal government has anti-discrimination laws. I believe they covered it. But federal law does not prohibit employees from firing, refusing to hire or promote someone because of their sexual orientation or gender identity. That's why we need ENDA. By the way, this is me talking. This isn't the Governor Corbett. And he is saying, Governor Corbett, that he supports such a move towards equality. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's going on in Pennsylvania. We don't actually have a lot of time for any more stories than that. I can say that a lot of news about the Olympics. I don't know why I'm not covering the Olympics. I know it's really important, and I just couldn't get past, and I remember when we talked about this on the show, that NBC was assuring their staff that it would be safe for them, but they weren't really sure how they were going to do that. And you have all the people calling to boycott, and maybe we shouldn't drink Russian vodka. And now President Obama and Vice President Biden are saying they're not going, and that's a huge deal that they're not going, because apparently presidents always go to these things. And so they're sending a delegation. The delegation has openly gay athletes, including Billie Jean King. By the way, do you guys know Billie Jean King? Like, do you know her personally? Because if so, can you get her on my show? Because that would be a dream come true. That would be amazing. Get me Billie Jean King. Send me an email, ken@thisshowsogay.com. By the way, that email address is one that you can use whenever you want. Some of you use it all the time. I love it. I love corresponding with you. I love when you have guest ideas. I reach out to them right away. Sometimes the guests even say, yes, we will be on your show. And it's a lot easier for me when I get to say to them, hey, some of your fans reached out to me and they want you on my show, and I want you on the show too. So send the email on over to ken@thisshowisogay.com. Please, please do follow us on Twitter. I'm going to figure out how to use it. It's going to happen. One day I'm just going to sit down with my new job as a college professor. I now have like the next 3.5 weeks off. So one of my things is, hey, I need to figure out Twitter. We have so many amazing guests booked in upcoming weeks. We kind of are on we go on singer-songwriter kicks. We are about to go on a comedy kick. So Aaron Foley's going to be on the show. Suzanne Westenhofer's going to be on the show. And I have a personal story about Suzanne Westenhofer that I didn't even know. I didn't even know I had a connection to her, but I put it online on Facebook, where you should be typing in "This Show Is So Gay" and liking us, because, you know, we like you. I put, hey, Suzanne Westenhofer coming on the show, and a friend from high school said, hey, what about that time that Suzanne Westenhofer came to our high school? And I'm not going to ruin the story. I have no recollection of it, but it was a really big deal. And we're going to talk about it with Suzanne Westenhofer in just a few weeks. And then, of course, coming up real soon is our 250th episode. So a lot going on here at This Show Is So Gay. It's very, very exciting. We love when you join us. If this is the holiday time for you, I wish you a very happy holiday. I wish you a very gay holiday, gay and merry, whatever that might mean for you. This is, of course, an amazing time to make a difference. This is when you're going to get, I know your inbox is just flooded right now from different organizations. So if you're able to spread out the love, that's always a good thing. The organizations would love to get small amounts from a ton of people. Obviously, they want one or two donors who give a ton. So if that's you, go for it. But small amounts from a ton of people, it really, really does make a difference. So maybe even consider donating to Naj. He's trying to build an LGBT center in Guyana. I know there is no shortage of causes out there. I know it. So you gotta contribute to what feels true to you. You gotta contribute to what resonates to you, and contribute however you want, whether it's volunteering, whether it's penning an op-ed, whether it's giving with your checkbook, whatever it is that you want to do, whether it's just promoting someone else's event on Facebook. It makes such a difference. Your promotion might get people there. It might not. But as someone who has hosted LGBT events, I guarantee you, promoting someone else's event makes the organizer of that event feel great. They will notice it, and they will be appreciative, and it will give them a boost. So even that costs nothing and costs no time. Do it. Do it. Get out there. Go do amazing things. Use your voice the way you know how to use it to make a difference for your LGBT brothers and sisters. And while you're doing it, I urge you, remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?